Hello and welcome to PBS Western Reserve's City-Centric podcast series. My name is Jeff Good, and this podcast series serves as a companion to our City-Centric TV series, where we take a closer look at those community members that are centric or central to the pulse of each of our featured city. Community members like, for instance, the entrepreneur, or the entertainer, the revitalizer, the politician, the humanitarian, and we even take a peek at the future. They're all featured in each of our city-centric episodes that are appearing weekly exclusively on PBS Western Reserve all through the fall and wrapping up in October. The City-Centric podcast series, what you're listening to right now, takes a deeper dive with each of our featured guests from the city-centric community members, looking even further into what makes them city-centric and then really what makes their city-centric to them. So happy today to have today's guest, which is our community member, business member, politician, Gwen Rosenberg. Gwen Rosenberg has lived in Kent for 18 years and is currently serving her second term on the Kent City Council. She has four kids who attended Kent City Schools, and she and her husband work together at their popcorn and confectionery business called Popped, with locations in Kent and Ravenna. Gwen also occasionally contributes to Manufacturing Confectioner magazine and is the second vice president for Retail Confectioners International. Glenn, welcome so much. Gwen, welcome so much and welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, you know, I've had an opportunity to watch your interview more than a couple times on our TV show, and I had a chance just to read that bio. And so all of us have had a chance to meet you very briefly, but take a moment and describe yourself, your background, where you're from to our listeners, and anything else you'd like our folks to know.
Oh, sure. So I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. I went to school there. I went to Loyola University of Chicago for my undergrad. And while in school, I met my husband at a little greenhouse on De Peyster in Kent. So my husband, Aaron, grew up in Kent. And so we met at a Halloween party, which was a lot of fun, the parts I remember. And then from there, we've got, you know, four kids together, and we opened a business back in 2012, Popped. And, you know, we've just been having a lot of fun ever since.
So this is the uncomfortable question, or the fun question.
Okay.
I do this with every guest. It's just an icebreaker between you, me, and the wall, and all of the listeners that are listening to this right now. But give me two truths and a lie about you, and I'm going to try to guess the lie.
Ooh, okay. Very good. All right. One time I won first prize for a zucchini that I grew at a county fair. I got a motorcycle license, and I won a writing award for a statewide competition and won some prize money for it.
I tried to look at your tell, because as I've explained earlier, you're in person here, and which is unusual for us. I'm going to say the motorcycle
is the
lie.
No, it's true.
Oh, very good. What? So the writing
is true.
Okay.
I never won a prize for a zucchini.
Okay. Doggone it. I thought I had it figured out. Well, great. You know, so the writing contest was when you were younger then?
It was just a few years ago.
Oh,
in Dayton, University of Dayton, Irma Bombeck has a writing competition for a special interest or humor. And so I won the statewide special interest just a few years ago.
Oh, very nice. Well, congratulations on that. So we're going to talk about comparing and contrast. And so you run a popcorn and confectionery business called Popped, and you're a local politician in Kent. So what are those, when you think about the similarities of those positions, and what are the differences?
So there are a lot of similarities, I think. You're serving the public, right? So retail, I make all the candy, which probably isn't a whole lot to do with politics, but serving the public. People come in, they have requests, they have special requests, sometimes they have unreasonable requests. And you're generally providing a service, you're communicating what you're providing, you're communicating what you can and you can't do, and the public is coming in and you're engaging with them on that, and also, you know, on just, you know, friendlier terms as friends, as customers, as, you know, so for in politics, you're talking to residents, right? The city has services, right, that we provide. There's things that we can't provide. There's reasons for and against it. You know, people have recommendations. Sometimes you can do them and they're a great idea. Sometimes, you know, sometimes they're not a great idea. You can't do it. So it's a lot about communication. It's a lot about kind of putting yourself out there and welcoming whoever walks in the door, whoever has something that they want to talk to you about. So in that way, I think it's very similar. You know, it's a lot of that communication, a lot of that kind of explaining, you know, what you have to offer, what you can't offer, and just kind of effectively communicating that.
I know you touched on this a bit on your TV interview for the City Centric series, but you did admit that you had no previous political experience, but yet you currently hold a political office, local political office. So what motivated you to make that move, and what continues to keep you interested in being a local politician?
So I think that, you know, my generation, I'm going to just refer to myself as Gen X, kind of from what I see, I haven't researched this, but my personal little opinion is that we opted out of a lot of civic responsibility and participation. And there's a whole lot of reasons for that: economic, job market, kids, everything. I totally understand all that. But as a business owner and having four kids that I'm very proud to say went to Kent City Schools. Public education is fantastic. Kent City Schools do an outstanding job. So having the experience of the small business, the kids in the schools, being involved in my community in other ways, it kind of beg the question, well, why not me? What would qualify somebody beyond active participation in this way? And so when I really thought about it, well, yeah, I don't have to wait until, I'm retired or, you know, I guess it used to be in Kent, you know, when there was a political office, all kinds of people ran. There was a lot of competition. It was a real feather in your cap to run for political office and to participate in that way. And a lot of people felt a duty bound to do it. And so in my generation, because like I said, it didn't seem like as many people were doing it. And I was, well, it kind of got me thinking, well, why not? And, you know, what would qualify? And once you kind of start going down that path, it occurred to me, I think I'm qualified to do this. I think I have enough perspective. I think I have enough roots in this community to do a good job. So I love it. I really, really enjoy it. Sometimes, sure, it's challenging. Sometimes, you know, you're required to kind of think and speak and ask intelligent questions all simultaneously, much like you do, right? But I really love it. And I'm very interested in being part of, you know, planning for Kent's future. So that's why I keep doing it.
You mentioned, and you continue to mention it, you mentioned it here, the positive effect of being in politics. So share with those folks that are listening right now some stories that you can, maybe one or two or multiple stories that point to that positive effect, positive stories about being a politician, a local politician.
I mean, obviously, so every day you get to meet and talk to people and you get to hear their ideas and what... If you have an open kind, I'm out there talking to people all the time, right? So often people come up and they've got ideas for something, they've got something that they'd like to see. And if you're sort of trusted, that they trust that they can share their idea with you for their community, it's awesome. I mean, it's just the coolest thing in the world. So there's things that we've been able to do in Kent that came out of some really good ideas. You know, we've got some, you know, diversity grant money available in the city of Kent to make it a more welcoming city, which is fantastic. We've got, I mean, obviously, if you come through Kent, you see all the redevelopment of the downtown area. We've got, you know, Rainbow Weekend through our Main Street Kent organization is coming up this weekend. There's all kinds of activities and ways for positive impact on people. And likewise, you know, when people have a bad experience, you know, I mean, like somebody's tree falls in their tree lawn and they need it cleaned up. I mean, this is like the bread and butter of local government. When we have a local government to act and help people, you know, remove a tree that's in a right of way or fix a bump on a sidewalk that somebody in a wheelchair can't get over. These are the positive changes that the city can take, and you hear about it from residents. So some of them are big and exciting, and they involve, you know, ribbon cuttings and, you know, federal grant dollars for building this or that or the other. And some of them are impactful in dramatic ways by making accessible sidewalks. I mean, that makes a huge difference in people's lives. So by constantly seeing opportunity, you know, for positive, positive change, positive tweaks, I guess, positive everything is such a blast. And I see it all the time in talking to people. So.
Listening, you're listening to PBS Western Reserve City Centric podcast series. We're so happy to have Gwen here today. The City Centric television series is not just about the city, but more about the people, people like Gwen that are central or centric to that particular city. TV series focuses on folks like the revitalizer, the entertainer, the entrepreneur, folks like Gwen that are both the business owner and the politician, and even take a step into where the future of each community member can claim makes them city centric. This city-centric podcast series that you're listening to takes a deeper dive, as we're doing right now with each of our city-centric community members. We look even further into what makes them city-centric and really what makes their city centric to them. So be sure to catch all of the City-Centric Season 1 appearing exclusively on PBS Western Reserve throughout the fall. And we're so pleased again to be talking with Kent community member, business owner, and local politician Gwen Rosenberg. And we're finding out really what makes Gwen's Kent City centric. So back to the questions. You mentioned that you didn't grow up in Kent. So, and as you went over your experience being both in Cleveland and in Chicago, how did that experience from those large cities really play into your current role, both as a business owner and a local politician in Kent?
So Cleveland and Chicago, when I lived there, I never once met an elected anything, any person at all. Those are big cities. Those are, I don't know. I just never met them. I never crossed paths with somebody in office. It's a much larger city, obviously. I didn't run in those circles. But part of the beauty of Kent, we're a city of about 26,000, give or take, and it doubles with the Kent State students when school's in session. So obviously it's a lot smaller. You can be an elected official and people can know your name and you can walk down the street and people can talk to you and kind of, bring that sort of familiarity, right, to the office. So I the differences between, Cleveland and Chicago. So not just that familiarity, but the ability to have impact kind of immediately, and you can see that impact immediately. And then also part of it, I really find that I have a tremendous appreciation. Since I didn't grow up in a small town, and you live in a small town, it's so different because obviously a lot more people kind of know what you're up to a little bit, right? If you go out and have a beer on Franklin Avenue on a fall evening, you're going to see people that you know. Whereas, Cleveland or Chicago, there's any number of places you can go and nobody even knows who the heck you are or why you're there or anything. And also just in terms of government, the local services, that Kent provides, right? Our service department, like I know the names of the people working there. I know the names of our police officers and you see them and you're kind of waving as you're walking down the street. And so it gives me such a great appreciation for what our city can offer because of our size, in terms of governmental services, let alone, cultural education, all those other things. And so that's one of the big differences. And one of the reasons I really just absolutely love Kent is because kind of that contrast, right? So Chicago is great for a whole lot of reasons. But Kent, just because of the size and the nature of it, I just really enjoy it. And I'm kind of always reminding people like the services that we provide here, you're not getting that in Chicago, right? Call your Chicago alderman and tell him that you want your leaves picked up on the curb, or like it doesn't work like that there.
I know you haven't touched on this yet, but obviously, how did your experience as a business owner kind of assist you in becoming that local politician? And how does that continue to assist you in being that local politician?
Well, so you got to kind of throw yourself out there, right? And it's really uncomfortable and it makes you a little bit nervous. And you got to put your face and yourself out there and talk to people in a way that's a little hard on your sleeve, right? I mean, it's easy for somebody to say something that kind of like crushes you, right? I mean, I make candy all day. I had somebody once grab a handful of, we make soft caramels. So he grabbed a handful of caramels. He said, wait, before I buy this, I want to try it, see if it's any good. So he unwrapped the caramel and while just looking at me right in the eyes, took a bite out of it. And I was waiting to see, you know, it's like, what's going to happen? Like, is he going to spit it out? You know, so he's like right there. Like I made that. Like, I think they're really good. I worked really hard on those caramels. I wasn't expecting that like moment of truth of a customer, you know, right to your face. And the politics is a little bit the same way, you know, like, hey, this is how I feel on a certain vote. And then somebody comes up like, hey, I want to talk to you about that vote. You're like, all right, here we go. You know, so you wear your heart on your sleeve. You put yourself out there in business. You put yourself out there when you want to participate in your community. People sometimes they make, you know, negative assumptions like, ah, you're just doing it for, you know, this or that or the other. And, you know, maybe that's not the case. Just trying to get the word out about what you're trying to do. So I think with the business ownership, putting yourself out there, then also kind of like that leap of faith. I think I can do this, right? Like, I think I can sell popcorn and, you know, have that our sole source of income for a family of six. That makes sense, right? I believe I can do this, right? Just like in politics, like I believe I can make a positive change in my community. I believe it matters, you know, opposing something that I think is wrong. You know, I believe it matters. I believe the words matter. What we say and what we do matters. So the business, I think, was excellent training grounds for being an elected official. Politician, I always hate, politician always makes me feel, it seems like a pejorative, right? Like politician. I view myself as like an elected representative, I guess, more an elected person. I don't know. But the business, it definitely prepares you. It definitely prepares you for it. Not just the aspect of vulnerability, putting your heart on your sleeve, but also that faith, that leap of faith, the belief that if you put yourself out there and you work hard for something that you believe in, that there's going to be positive, there's going to be rewards on the other end, and rewards not financially or glory or anything like that. The reward of actually like seeing something come to fruition that you believe in. That's the best.
You mentioned it just a bit ago when you talked about the population of Kent. So obviously, you know, you witness, you know, the times when students aren't in session and then when students are. But why does that, I've asked this of other business owners, they talk about the unique combination of that student population and the residents of Kent. Why do you think that works so well together?
So I'll tell a little story about my parents. So hopefully, I don't know, hopefully they won't mind. I'm sure they won't. So when I was 16 years old, my mom got pregnant with my sister, Grace. So there's a 16-year age gap. So my parents were looking at, they were definitely looking towards retirement, empty nest. I mean, I was a sophomore in high, they had two more years and I would be gone. And my sister, Grace, was born. And it was just awesome. They were right back at the zoo and swimming lessons and, you know, play dates, like the whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle. And I think that, you know, there could have been a possibility that my father might have skewed towards grumpier, right? Right? That kind of retired grumpy person, you know, working on the golf game and taking care of the lawn or whatnot. And I think that the city of Kent potentially could skew grumpy, but we have this influx of brand new, bright-eyed, upbeat kids that come in every year, and it's awesome. And it kind of keeps us youthful and vibrant and a lot going on.
So we're going to look at a crystal ball, and you're going to look at the crystal ball, which is revealing the future of Kent. What do you see as Kent's future?
I think that Kent's just going to continue to thrive. I think that more people are going to get involved. I think more people are going to want to get involved in their starting businesses and participating in local government. You can kind of see it percolating a little bit more now. I think that we're on a fantastic track, and I think we've laid outstanding groundwork to kind of continue the track that we're on. So,
Gwen Rosenberg, Kent community member, business owner, and local representative. How's that? I changed it. What qualities, characteristics, personalities, or a combination of all of those makes you Kent city-centric?
I think it is my faith in the positive outcome when you put in the work. I believe that through words and through actions, through participation in your local community, whether that's through small business or being an elected official, that faith in outcome, that you know, more than just hard work pays off, but belief in positive change, that belief in your community and that the and trust and faith that the community members see that and will recognize it and pick it up and go with you.
I can't thank you enough, Gwen, for being here and being our guest on our City Centric podcast series.
Thank you so much. It was so fun.
Well, good. Well, you've been listening to PBS Western Reserve City Centric podcast series. Once again, I'm Jeff Good, and PBS Western Reserve City Centric TV series isn't just about the city, but more about people like Gwen that are central or centric to that particular city. That series that's been premiering exclusively all through the fall on PBS Western Reserve focuses on folks like the revitalizers, the entertainer, the entrepreneur, the elected representative, the humanitarian, and even the future that each community member can claim makes them city-centric. Well, the City-Centric podcast series, as we learned today, takes kind of a deeper dive with each of our city-centric featured community members, and we look even further into really what makes them city-centric and really talk about what makes their city centric to them. So, hey, what makes a community member city-centric? Well, you know what? Why don't you join us next time as we continue the conversation with those featured community members on PBS Western Reserve City Centric series. And make sure to check out the TV series all fall exclusively on PBS Western Reserve.